All right, well, let's get started in our Christmas series this year. I've always looked forward to the Christmas series. I always look forward to sharing, because most of you know this, Christmas is my favorite time of year. It's something that I look forward to and something, yes, Karen? I'm sorry? Never mind? Okay. So it's something I look forward to every year. It's something that we definitely enjoy and look forward to. And I don't know about you, but again, maybe you don't like Christmas, but I think it's the most wonderful time of the year. In fact, one of the things that I like to do is I kind of wait and listen, you got to understand this about me. I'm kind of one of these guys. I know it's weird. I'm one of these guys that listens to Christmas music all year long. Okay. I got one ooh, so not too bad, okay? Everybody else knows this probably, they're not such a big deal. But one of the things that I like to do is kind of wait for when the radio stations start playing Christmas. Because it's not like I don't listen to it all year round, but I don't know why it's something like special when you just can play the radio and you turn on FM music and it's playing and all those sort of things. And one of the songs I always remember hearing is Andy Williams singing It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year. And I know other artists have done it, but I mean, that's kind of the ones, kind of the original and my favorite, and we hear that all the time. And it is the most wonderful time of the year because of so many different things that are a part of Christmas and so many things that come together in that time and in that season. And here's the thing, when you think about the most wonderful time of the year, in a lot of ways, there's a lot of parts that all put this together. But in a lot of ways, we talk about the things that come and the things that are a part of it, but it's wonderful. And when you think of the word wonderful, it's kind of broken down when you think about it. It's basically a time when it's wonderful. It's a time that's full of wonder. Full of wonder. In this season, we're going to be looking at this idea of the season of wonder over the next several weeks. Because here's the thing we need to remember, and we'll talk about this every week. The most wonderful time of the year celebrates the most wonderful moment in time. You realize that. It celebrates, what this whole thing is about, is celebrating the rescue plan that God had for humanity. It started a process of basically that of Jesus' birth that obviously led him not just to live on earth for those years, but led him to the cross and to the resurrection. This starts in our hearts, this understanding that we can know that we can be saved because of what Jesus did and the fact that Jesus came. Over the next several weeks, we're gonna spend some time once again looking at the wonder of the birth of Jesus in so many different ways. We're going to talk about characters that you know. We're going to talk about places that you know. But throughout it all, we're going to look again and hopefully it'll bring us back to this place of just wonder when we think about all that Jesus has done for us. If you have your Bibles, open them up. We'll start here in Luke 1. This is a passage that most of us have heard maybe many, many times, but let's look at it again together as we kind of open up our series. Luke 1, starting with verse number 26, we're going to read to verse number 34. It says this, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How can this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am your Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This morning, what we're going to be focusing in on is the wonder of Mary. the wonder of Mary. Father, we love you and we thank you for this moment and this time. God, as we look at these things together, Father, I pray that my words would cease and that yours would begin. Because, Father, my words really aren't going to do much. But, God, your word changes everything. That's what we need. And so, Father, I pray that your words would come forth and help us to understand more about who you are through all that you have done. Through the life of Mary, God, we can learn so much about you and about what you have for us. So I got, again, Father, open our hearts to that. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be talking about Mary this morning. And here's the thing. I know that for some of us, when we talk about Mary, we can sometimes kind of allow some of the fiction and some of the truth to kind of get mixed up a little bit. So I want us to stop for just a minute to kind of give us a better idea of this character. Because again, everybody knows about Mary. But sometimes we've got a little things that may be a little messed up or maybe not quite so understood, and that we need to look at those things, especially during this time of year. So we're going to start first by looking very quickly at the biblical truths about Mary. What do we really know about Mary? What does Scripture communicate to us about her? Because here's the deal. We really don't know a lot about Mary. We know a very small amount, especially compared to some of the other characters that we have. And Mary obviously played a very important role in the birth of the Savior and in these things. So let's look at some of these things together and really kind of get some more of an understanding of Mary before we move on to really the wonder of Mary. So first of all, we see in Scripture that Mary lived in Nazareth. Nazareth was a town about 300 to 400 people north of Jerusalem. It was not a large town. It was obviously, as we look at other portions of Scripture, not a well thought of town. Basically, as Jesus begins his ministry, there are people that literally say, can anything good come out of Nazareth? So this is where Mary's from. This is where she's grown up. This is where she's experienced most, if not all, of her life. Obviously, she wouldn't travel much. They didn't travel much at this time. Maybe she's gone to Jerusalem, probably has. But other than that, she's probably just been around the area of Nazareth. So this is where she was born, and this is where the angel finds her. Next, Mary is pledged to be married. Now, this is a little different than we can understand, because this is Jewish cultural understandings and things that they did at this time were a little different than what we understand. A lot of times, and even in some translations of your Bible, you'll see words like betrothed, or pledge, or even engaged. The best way to understand this in our understanding of these things today is Mary and Joseph were engaged, but they were engaged at a different level. You see, when we get engaged today, we basically say, well, this is my fiance and things like that. And if you would like to break the engagement, it's somewhat simple to do. You basically say, I don't know when you're having the wedding, but I ain't going to be there. Okay? That's pretty much how it works. I mean, you know, I break it a little more simple than necessary, but that's how it works. During this time, to break an engagement or a betrothal, it was literally like basically having a divorce, okay? So Mary and Joseph are not married, but in a lot of ways, they kind of are. They haven't been together yet, obviously, but they're very much a couple in even a greater way than we would even understand a fiance and things today. Next, Mary's a virgin. Okay, now that word can be translated in several different ways, obviously in the way that most of us would understand the word, but also in the understanding that Mary was very, very young. The word virgin, basically, you get this idea of young maiden. Okay, and if you stop and you really kind of go back again, looking at the cultural context of the time, there is a very good chance that Mary was 13 years old at this point, maybe 14. The reason why is because most women at this time would be pledged to be married right after they hit puberty. So she was young. A lot of times we watch movies or TV shows or we have pageants. Who plays Mary? You know, basically maybe a 20-something, 30-something woman. Probably not. In fact, very, very unlikely. So Mary is young, quite young, obviously. And obviously she has not been with anyone in any type of way at this point in her life. So she's pledged to be married, and these are things that are going on. Next, Mary was specifically chosen by God. Okay? Mary was chosen by God. When you see those words basically in the scripture that we read, where Mary was highly favored, What that basically means is that God has chosen her specifically for a specific task. Okay, we see that word favored, and we kind of look at it a little slightly different way. When you go back to the original context and the original language that this was written in, what that really means is that basically God had chosen Mary for a very specific thing. Okay? So before we continue, let's kind of take a minute, because now we're going to get into some things that are kind of going to lead into a little bit more what we're going to be speaking about. So Mary was basically pledged to be married in Nazareth. She's a virgin, and God has specifically chosen her. Okay? We can see all those things in Luke 26, 20, and 27. Now as we get into 29, we see something begin to happen here. Number one, Mary was totally unsettled by the angel, as most of us would be, if not all of us would be. Mary is afraid. She doesn't know what's going on. This is something major that's happening in her life at this moment. And so she's not quite sure what to do here. She's not quite sure how to respond, as, like I said, most of us would be. And the angel comes and tries to calm her down and basically, don't be afraid, and all these sort of things. But she's very unsettled in this moment by the angel. And the thing that really, really takes place here that we need to focus in on today that's going to kind of help us see the wonder of Mary is this. Mary's plans were totally about to change. Totally about to change. I mean, just think about it. Mary is probably like most, and especially during this time where she's thinking about marriage, she's thinking about family, she's thinking about all those types of things, and she's getting excited about it. And basically, an angel shows up. I mean, she's engaged at this point. You know, she's probably thinking about her wedding day and all the excitement that's going to happen, the feasts and all those sort of things. And an angel shows up and basically says, yeah, everything you've planned, you might as well just kind of put it aside. I mean, that's an amazing moment for this young lady, where basically everything that she's excited about, everything that she's planned, basically God says, oh yeah, not going to go the way you thought it was going to go. And Mary is in a moment where she's kind of got a choice to make. Like sometimes what happens with us in our lives, we'll kind of get our plans all put together. We'll kind of say, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and then this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and we kind of, all those sort of things, and maybe even the dominoes start to kind of fall in that direction, and then all of a sudden, God will come in, and he'll take one of those dominoes out, and then there's that last sound. I don't know if you've ever set up dominoes before, but you got that, but when it doesn't, the last domino goes, there's kind of like this, oh. In Mary's world, that domino just went, and now she's got a choice to make because everything that she thought has now changed. Everything. And think about what she's dealing with in this moment. I mean, can we just be honest for a second? Like, you go, how does she explain this to her mom and dad? We know a little bit about like how Joseph's going to respond. But how do you explain this to people? I mean, and again, she's kind of this young girl. I mean, I was a youth pastor for 15 years. Young girls are not always necessarily, just like young guys, don't misunderstand me here, always like got it all together. You get what I'm saying here? I'm not trying to be mean, but, you know, I mean, I'm older than that. I don't have it all together. You know, like, and she comes and says, Mom, Dad, we need to talk. And through all that, with the questions, with the like, how is this going to happen? What's Joseph going to think? What am I going to do? What are the people going to do? What are the people going to think? Well, you know, Mom, Dad, I just want to talk to you. Well, yesterday afternoon, I was kind of hanging out of the house. Angel showed up and told me that I was going to give birth to basically God's son. I'm not expecting Mom and Dad to go, oh, that's wonderful, honey. That's great. Yeah. Okay, we don't have that in Scripture, but let's be honest. It had to have happened unless Mary didn't have family. And with all that, the wonder of Mary was that she made herself available. The wonder of Mary, knowing all those things, Look what she does in Luke 1, the first part of verse number 38. She responds, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May your words to me be fulfilled." You want to know what that really means in today's lingo? Basically, Mary says, "I'm game. Let's go." Unbelievable. The wonder of Mary is that basically she said yes to God's plan for her life when it totally changed everything. She said, "I'm the Lord's servant. I will do, God, whatever you want from my life." You see, for some of us, we'll say the right things. We'll say, "Oh, yes, I'm God's servant." But when God comes and he says, "Listen, man, I'm going to take your plans and I'm going to totally rearrange them. You thought you were going to do this. I'm going to have you do this." We all of a sudden go, "You know what, God? I'm not so sure I'm cool with this whole servant thing." Mary wasn't that way. Mary was willing to say, "Listen, even though it's not what I planned, even though it's completely different, even though I may be ridiculed, even though I may be ostracized, even though I may deal with harder things than I ever could have imagined, God, if this is what you have for me, let's do this. Let's go. I'm game. God, whatever you have." You see, the mark of a servant of God is that they make themselves available to God's purposes, even at great costs. Because here's the thing you need to understand. Here's the lie that some of us sometimes believe that comes literally from the pit of hell. It's that God doesn't have a purpose for our lives. It's, "Well, God has a purpose for that person, or God has a purpose for that individual, but not me." It's a lie from the pit of hell. God has a purpose for your life. Unfortunately, for some of us, we can miss God's purposes because we're not willing to truly be a servant for him, because it might cost us too much. It may be too hard. It may be out of our comfort zone or out of our planning. But Mary said yes. But here's the deal. Here's the thing. A lot of times in Scripture, and Mary is definitely one of these individuals, we kind of make these individuals kind of the marble men and women, if it were. You know, "Wow, look what they did. I could never do what they did." And here's the thing. That's another lie from the pit of hell. You see, because Mary doesn't just do this. It's not something that just happens. Mary just doesn't just magically make this happen. You see, Mary is actually given some things that really actually help her to say yes to God. And here's what's great about these things that we're going to talk about. There's two of them that we're going to talk about this morning. These things are things that you can use to strengthen you to say yes to God as well. Because these things are true for Mary, and they're true for us. And so Mary really makes herself available because the angel reveals two things that strengthens her and gives her the courage to be available. And again, what's wonderful about these is you and I can use them even today, okay? So yes, the wonder of Mary is that she made herself available. The wonder of Mary is that she said yes. But here's the deal. When you say yes to God, when you make yourself available, man, we could bring you up here and talk about the wonder of you. Because that you said yes. Not because you're perfect. Mary wasn't. Mary dealt with stuff. I can show you in Scripture where Mary didn't handle everything perfectly. But she still said, "You know what, God? Even though I'm not perfect, even though I got stuff in my life that isn't always the way it needs to be." You remember Scripture tells us that all have sinned and all have fallen short. Mary still said yes to God, but she had some help. And it's help that you and I can use today. The first thing that the angel explains to her, or helps her to see, is Mary learned of God's providence. Mary learned of God's providence, okay? Now, we don't use that word a lot, so let me define that for you, especially in this context. Providence is simply God guiding history towards his intended goals, okay? Here's the thing that we have as believers that is just so unbelievably peace-giving to us, and it's simply this. No matter what happens, God's providence is there and is going to happen. He is in control. When God says something, it's going to happen. In fact, what's great about this is in a lot of ways, Mary uses things that God has already said through other people to be encouraging to her. And here's what's great. We have a Bible that's still full of those things. Some that we've seen as been, wow, that was prophecy that's already been fulfilled. And some that we say that's not been fulfilled yet, but will be one day. Mary was able to take the providence of God, knowing that God was moving through history, moving his plan all the way through the ages to bring her and that angel to that moment in that time specifically. I mean, that's amazing to think about. I mean, here's the deal. This whole plan doesn't begin with the Old Testament prophets. It begins way, way back in the garden and even before that. When we messed up at the very beginning, we see the very first prophecy about Jesus' coming. It started all the way there. In fact, I will even go further and say, God, in his infinite knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, knew even before Genesis 1:1 what the cost would be to create you and me, to rescue us. And so God began to weave. God began to make these types of things happen. And here's what we see during our scripture that we already read. The angel begins to share God's providence with Mary. He basically shares things with her that Mary, as a good Jewish girl, we know that she was doing the right things, she would have known. Let me show you. The first one took place basically, I think it was about 300 or 400 years before this took place, and it happened through the prophet Isaiah. In fact, in Isaiah, there's a lot of scripture that we use during this Christmas season. But look in Isaiah 7:14. This is what the Lord speaks through the prophet Isaiah. He says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Okay, so what's happening here? What's going on? Basically, God's saying, listen, I'm going to show you something. Okay, this is your sign. This is what you are to look for when it comes to the birth of my son. So this is your sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. What's Mary? A virgin. Mary understands this completely. So all of a sudden, Mary's going, wait a minute, that's me. This is something that was talked about hundreds of years ago. And God is doing it now. God is bringing forth this. God has rearranged everything and put everything in place and brought us to this moment, to this time, to this situation. But not only that, the angel doesn't just share that about God's presence or providence. He also shares that his kingdom will never, ever end. In 2 Samuel 7:16, we see basically the covenant that God gives with David. Now, this took place even further back than Isaiah. But look to the promise that God gives David about his descendants, which we know eventually will be Jesus. Look at it. He says, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. What's the angel tell Mary? His kingdom will never end. All the way back, hundreds and hundreds of years, God is already working things out. He's already moving the pieces on the chessboard, if that makes sense to you, to kind of make sure everything's all placed in there. And so Mary's hearing this. She knows one day the Messiah is going to come, and the Messiah is going to be born of a virgin. His kingdom is never going to end. And what's the angel say? Exactly the same things. And so she's beginning to see all of those types of things begin to form and take place in her life. And here's what's wonderful about that. Mary is not special in this. God is rearranging. God is moving the things and the places in your heart and in your life. And you can trust the providence of God. You can trust the plan of God. Even if the plan sometimes will mess up your plans. Which, let's be honest, at least in my life, typically that happens. You can trust the providence of God. You can trust that he is putting all the puzzle pieces together. In fact, later on in Scripture, when basically the early Christian church talks about the birth of Jesus, they typically use words like time and season and planned and all these sort of things. One of those examples is in Galatians 4. In Galatians 4, Paul's writing to the church there, and he says basically this. He says, but when the set time had fully come. I love that little portion of the scripture. There's so much power and things we can learn in that little portion of scripture. Because see, for some of you, you're waiting for something. God has promised you something. But that first little line hasn't quite gotten there yet. The time, the set time hasn't fully come. But here's the deal. Here's the thing that we can trust with God's providence and God's promises. The time will fully come in God's timing. And His timing is better than mine. It's better than yours, I promise. So listen to what He says. When the set time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. God knows exactly what He is doing. Okay, please, I can't emphasize this enough. And here's the thing. This is one of those things that especially maybe if you've been a believer for a while, of course God's in control. Yes, of course God's in control. Of course God's in control. Until your life gets out of control, and then all of a sudden God somehow has lost control. Right? Here's the thing I know about God. God's control is not based on my misperception of uncontrol. Okay? Even when things don't happen the way I think they should, even when things are hard, God still has you. He still has me. So Mary understood the providence of God. She saw it in so many ways. But that wasn't even all that she got. You see, God is so good to us. God so desperately wants us to say yes and be available to Him that God will be like, I'll help you in this. I'll help you. He helped Mary. He'll help you. So not only do we see God's providence, but Mary was also assured of God's power. Okay? So we get God's providence, but we also get God's power. Look here. Look at Luke 1. We're going to go back to the text we looked at earlier. Luke 1, 34 through 35. This is a situation here, okay? Now, at this point, okay, Mary has basically heard about the idea of basically who Jesus, virgin birth, kingdom is never going to end. So she's understanding this idea of providence. But now she's going, okay, God, how are you going to bring the providence about in my life? Okay? Listen, here's the deal. That's an okay question to ask God. Say, God, I'm coming from a place of trust, but I don't always see how you're going to do this. That's what Mary basically says in verses 34 and 35. Listen, she says, how will this be? I'm a virgin. This isn't going to work normal. How is this all going to come together? Listen, this is what the angel says. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And again, if you underline your Bible, underline the word power. You see, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. You see, for some of us, we like the idea of providence of God, but we don't trust the power of God in our lives. We don't believe that God has the ability to actually do what He's promised us. And again, we may sit in a church or in a Bible study or things like that, or even have a conversation with somebody, and we'll communicate this all day long. Oh, yes, I trust in the power of God. God can do anything. And then in our own lives, sometimes we don't always act that out. I'm here to remind you that not only is God have a purpose for you, and this is big, His power will equip you to accomplish what He's called you to do. Not in your strength, not in your ability, not in your wisdom, but in His. And see, that's the thing. Mary's sitting there going, I can't figure this out. This isn't going to happen. And basically the angel says, listen, Mary, let me just help you out with this. It's not about you. Your job, just like us, is to be available, to say yes to those things. And when you say yes, God will equip you to do and accomplish whatever He has for you. That's so important that we get. Because for some of us, we refuse to really be the servant that God's called us to be because we just go, God, I can't see how you can do that through me. I've said this before, I'll say it again. God can use a rock and has, he can use you. And that's not an insult to you. That's just to help you understand that God's power is greater than anything. He's got you. There's been so many times in my own life where I've experienced that. There's been so many times, honestly, in other people's lives. I hate to say it, you know, where you kind of look at somebody and you go, that person over there, I know they love you and it's great, but I don't see how they're going to accomplish these things. And yet they do. In fact, just so you know, the Bible is full of people just like that. Did you realize that? A guy named Moses that God uses, a murderer. He ran away. He was afraid. God used him to do great things. God uses a shepherd boy that his father doesn't even think to invite to meet the prophet. Yeah, you know, just this kind of the young, he's the runt. Over and over, Gideon, Paul, Peter, so many people that you and I, let's be honest, would not have chosen. That God said, listen, if you'll make yourself available and you'll trust in my providence and you'll allow my power to do in you what you couldn't do alone, you are going to be blown away by what I can do through you. But here's the deal. Just to make sure Mary gets this, because Mary's got a pretty important job here, folks. Basically, the angel takes one step further and he says, just in case you need a good example of God's power, let me tell you about Elizabeth. And so basically, he continues in verse number 36. Let's look at 36 and 37 together. He says, again, continuing on, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. It's basically like the angel says, listen, if you have any doubt that God can't handle this, I'm going to give you an example and a story of someone who God is already doing it in. That is why it is so important that we share the testimonies that God has given to us and celebrate those things. Why? Because there's somebody that might need to hear about it. God doesn't just do things in your life for you alone. He does them so that you can share them with those around you and in your family so that basically they can see God's faithfulness and God's power. This is what the angel is basically saying. Listen, if you think this is difficult, he's already doing it. In fact, she's already in her sixth month. And then he makes a statement that's just so powerful, for nothing is impossible with God. You see, for some of us, we live our lives with this idea of saying, you know, basically everything is impossible with me, but it's not about you. It's not about those things. It's about what God is willing and wanting to do in you and through you. And I get it. Sometimes that's hard. Sometimes God asks us to do things that it seems like in our own ability, in our own strength, it's just like, God, you might as well ask us to step outside, flap our wings, and fly to the Denver airport on our own. And for Mary, I bet that was pretty similar to what she was just told. And the angel says, nothing is impossible with God. You see, for some of us, the only thing that is standing in the way of our availability is a perceived impossibility. You see, for some of us, we don't trust God's power enough to know that when God is putting all the pieces together, God is going to do all those things in your life and then he wants to empower you to accomplish what God has set out for you to do. But we'll sit there and we'll go, God, that can't happen. And so we'll say no to God and no to making ourselves available because it just seems impossible. what Mary heard in this moment. Listen, even with understanding the power of God and knowing the power of God and the providence of God, it still seemed impossible. And Mary's response was not, "Now, you know, angel, I don't know how I feel about this. Like, are you sure?" No, Mary's response is just basically, again, "Let's go." It's unbelievable. You see, to me, when we talk about, here's it, when we talk about Mary, Mary can kind of very, very easily kind of turn into that statue in a lot of ways. And when I say that, I mean just almost like this perfection and just, oh, this is the, you know, those sort of ideas and concepts. But the thing that amazes me about Mary the most, the thing that makes me stand in awe and wonder of her, the thing that I look at and I go, "God, I want this in my life," was all those things. And she still just said, "Yes." There may be things in your life that God is just saying, "Listen, will you just say yes? Listen, I know it may seem impossible. I know it may seem crazy. I know it may be a situation where you look at it and you go, 'God, there is no way this can happen.'" And the angel would say to you, "There's nothing impossible for God. There's nothing impossible for Him. You have His providence." And here's the deal about His providence. You have it in a greater degree than Mary did. You realize that? You have it in a greater degree than Mary did. And we also have God's power. And we have it in a greater degree than Mary did. You see, because remember, Mary gave birth to Jesus, but God brought Him back to life to rule and reign forever. All power and all authority is in His hands. And for some of us, we live in a way that says, "God, if I can understand it, if it fits my plan, if it's something I can handle on my own, then yes, God, I say yes to You." But I truly believe that for some of us, if not all of us, God is saying, "Listen, I'm calling you to something even greater than you ever imagined. Say yes. Say yes." Because here's the deal. Listen, Mary said yes, and it changed everything. And here's the deal. Here's what I promise you. When you say yes to God, God will change everything in your world too. Because God works that way. He does those things in those ways. So this morning, as we kind of bring this to a close, I just want to ask you a simple, or I just want to give you an idea here of kind of how we should be praying, okay? We won't do this every week, but in this instance, I think it's important. So if you would, let's just bow our heads, let's close our eyes again, just so we can focus. As we looked at Mary and looked at the things that she was willing to do and making herself available, basically, in a lot of ways, Mary kind of prayed at the end of her little statement. In fact, later on, we see Mary's song, and that was very much a song, but also a prayer, and it's just beautiful. I encourage you to look at that, you know, starting in verse number 46. But Mary, in a lot of ways, basically says a prayer, and she basically says this. She says, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as You have said." For us, maybe the prayer that we need to say is simply this: "Lord, any time, anything, anywhere, I am Your servant." You see, for some of us, we'll say, "God, any time, not anything, and not anywhere, now I'm Your servant." You see, what Mary was willing to do and what God, I think, is calling us to do with His help is to be the servant that says any time, anything, and anywhere. And here's the deal. You may hear that and you go, "Aaron, that's a very hard prayer to pray." And I agree with you completely. It is a very hard prayer to pray. But again, I want to remind you, you have God's providence. You have God's plan working in your life. Sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't, but it is happening. God says in His Word, every day has been written out in His book. The plans He has for you are perfect. He is working those things. There is a providence. There's a guiding that God's doing. And not only that, not only is God bringing you to a place and preparing you for a time, but He has also empowered you to accomplish whatever He's called you to do. You see, for Mary, the providence and the power of God were enough to make her say yes to the impossible. And it changed everything. And God can do the same thing in our lives today. The wonder of Mary, for me, was that this 13, 14-year-old girl simply said yes to Him. As we really begin to enter into the Christmas season, obviously, we're December 1st. I truly believe there are things in your life that God has laid on your heart, and He's basically saying, okay, will you say yes to me? Will you say, Lord, I'm available. Anytime, anything, anywhere, I'm your servant. You see, the idea of a servant is someone who is at the call of the master. And for us in our world, that doesn't sound too appealing, for obvious reasons. But our master is so good, and He's perfect, and His ways are perfect. And to serve Him is not a burden, but is a joy because of all that He has done for us. You see, one of the things that can be very easy about the Christmas season is to leave Jesus in the manger. And as I've said for years during Christmas series and Christmas seasons, the boy grew up. And he lived a sinless, perfect life. And as we celebrated through communion this morning, we remember that He willingly laid down His life for us. But on the third day, God rose Him again for us so that we could live just like He lives. And it all, in a lot of ways, doesn't start with Mary. It started with a fall in the garden, where individuals thought they knew better and didn't obey the things that God had asked them to do. But even in that beginning, God said, there will come the seed of woman. And yes, enemy, you will strike His heel, prophesying about the death of Jesus. But God doesn't stop there. He says, and you will crush His head, meaning that ultimate victory will be won by Jesus. God's plan throughout the ages, listen, hear me here, includes you. So this morning, can we be a little bit more maybe like Mary and just say yes to God? Because He's got great things and great plans. And He wants to do great things in you and through you. And for some of us, for that to take place, He's just simply waiting for that yes. God, we come to You right now and we love You and we thank You for this day. And Father, Mary is such a great example to us in so many different ways. But this morning, her willingness to just be available to You, for me, is awe-inspiring. for all the things that she was going to have to deal with, for all the questions and the inquisition that she was going to deal with, and it just didn't matter. All that mattered was that she was the Lord's servant. Because here's the thing, we don't always see in this story here the hard moments that Mary had to face, the looks, the whispering behind her back. But it didn't matter to her. And I'm sure it still hurt. But she said, I'm the Lord's servant. She said, anytime, any place, anywhere, anything, I will be your servant, Lord. And that is such an unbelievable lesson and a model for us this morning. But it's also a reminder that Mary wasn't special. Mary was simply just like us. You see, Scripture tells us that God's no respecter of persons. But just as Mary was highly favored for a specific job and a specific time and a specific purpose, so is every individual that can hear the sound of my voice. The question becomes, will we say yes to what God's called us to do? And Father, I don't know if this moment there are individuals who actually literally know what they need to say yes to. I don't know if there's individuals, I'm sure there's both, but there also may be individuals who don't know that you're going to maybe in this next couple of days or couple of weeks or couple of hours or even right now begin to express to them, this is what I'm asking you to do. Will you say yes to me? But Father, wherever we're at on our journey in that, Father, I pray that we would say yes to you. And Father, if there's anyone here who, Father, has never said yes to you in the way that we have to all say yes in the very first place, which is saying yes to your love, your grace, your forgiveness, yes to who you are, yes to the fact that we are sinners and we need a Savior and we can't save ourselves, that we just need you. Father, if there are those that are here right now or online that say, you know what, I want to say yes to Jesus, but I need to say yes to him as my Savior, then God, they can do that today. Scripture teaches us that if we'll confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, God rose him from the dead, we will be saved. And Father, we can do that in this moment. We can do this in 5 years from now when somebody's watching this online. Whenever and wherever, God, you will meet us. And when we say yes to you, you'll make us brand new and change us from the inside out. So, Father, whether it's for that first time or it's for a specific season or plan or purpose, Father, I pray that all of us would say yes to you. We love you. We thank you. You're so good. And we love you so much. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. So again, I want to remind you, listen, there's a lot going on. It's a busy, busy season. We want you to be aware of those things. So if you have any questions or anything like that, you can come see me or Pastor Renee or Pastor Sarah, possibly Emily. I mean, there's just all sorts of things that are coming up. So we want you to be aware of those. And remember, we're going to have lunch today at Jason's Deli. We'd love to have you join us. If not, have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.